Our passage this morning is from the book of John. The next day, John, that was John the Baptist, was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When two of his disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." And they went and saw where he was staying, and he spent that day with him. It was about 4 PM. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, is one of the two who heard what Jesus had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." That is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated is Peter, or the rock. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite, in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you were while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you under the fig tree. You will see greater than that." Then he added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man."
As I start here this morning, I'd like to invite April forward. I want to interview her for a moment. So every year at Christmas, April, or throughout the year, she thinks about certain gifts that she wants to give our kids. And I'll let her explain, and it'll tie into our sermon today.
Excuse me. About 5 years ago, I started giving the kids, our three kids, what I call a discovery gift. And it started when I discovered laundry sheets, because they're a pretty great invention. I don't know if any of you use laundry sheets, not dryer sheets, but laundry sheets. Your laundry detergent is in a sheet. No more big bottles in landfills, blah, blah, blah. So that's how it started. I just found something that I thought could make their lives better, and I wanted to share it with them. So I've been giving Discover gifts every year. One year it included a silicone strip that you would put on your oven rack so you wouldn't burn yourself when you go to get things out of the oven. It could be anything. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah. And what about this year? Tell us about this year.
So this year, among other things, it's usually two or three things, because I'm very good at discovering, I found. This year was a very classy gift, and I should show you before I talk about it. Anybody know what it is? Well, let me just tell you that what I'm seeing my hands right now. And I could have a book here or my phone here, and I could be reading. But my head is straight, so I'm not doing this. And I just felt like for my kids who are in the next generation and who are probably on their phones even more than I am, this is going to be really good for them because they're not going to end up with this dinosaur neck that I have from bending over and looking down at things. So I thought they all had to have a pair of these. And so this was the discovery gift for this year.
Okay. Funny story. I think we both were introduced to it. My siblings and us were away for a weekend, and my sister-in-law is sitting outside around, along the campfire during day. And I walk out and I said, "Why is Barb staring at me with those strange glasses?" He or she was sitting out there reading, but it just looked like she was staring at me the whole time. Anyway, so thanks. So the whole idea there is making this wonderful discovery and wanting to share it with other people. So that's what our scriptural story's all about here this morning. All these different individuals that we talked about discovered Jesus, and then they went to tell others. We found the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the Son of God, the King of Israel, the one that Moses and the prophets spoke about. They all had made this wonderful discovery when they met Jesus and had to tell somebody else. So it started with John the Baptist standing there with his two disciples. Andrew's mentioned. The other one who's unmentioned is probably John, because John, the gospel writer, never uses his name when he writes about himself. So probably Andrew and John. So John the Baptist directs them towards Jesus, and they heard and they followed. And then Andrew spends the day with Jesus, goes and finds his brother Peter. Jesus himself finds Philip and invites him home to come and see. And then Philip has to go and tell his friend Nathanael that he's found the one that the prophet spoke about. So over and over again, there's this invitation, and it's to come and see. This is someone that I've found, you need to meet him. He's the one God is sending to us. So this invitation, come and see. We've been singing about it, and it's the invitation. I have a video that I want to show just for a few minutes from The Chosen, and it's Jesus meeting Nathanael that we read about. I just thought it would be helpful for us to see this in a more personal, you know, we read about it, but this makes it more personal. And because we ourselves want to be having these personal connections and inviting people to come and see. So this is how they depicted it from The Chosen.
He's the one.
The one.
The one who Moses foretold and the prophets said would come.
The one.
The one. Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph.
Nazareth.
Can anything good come out of Nazareth?
Come and see.
Oh, little dump on a craggy hilltop.
I'm serious.
No paved roads, no public buildings. They barely have a synagogue.
You can't. You really can't.
Hey, I'm just telling it like it is. Why can't I do that?
Because you're mean.
The families, illiterate day laborers and peasants, by the way, sleep under the same roof as their livestock.
Listen to me.
Honestly, Philip, saying the one is a Nazarene is practically heresy.
Just come and see. What? You gonna be late for work?
Wow. That's dark.
So dark. Your whole life, you've wanted to serve God, to meet the Son of God, the King of Israel. I promise you will not regret it. And if you do, I'll refund your misery. But I know you. You don't mess around. You will want to join him. He's like no rabbi who ever has been or will be.
I've never seen you talk like this.
I'm still hung up on the Nazareth of it all.
Come and see. Rabbi.
Well, this is a good night. Do you know who stands beside you there?
This is my friend, Nathaniel.
Yes, the truth teller.
I'm sorry?
Man is often deceitful. And Israel began with Jacob, a bit of a deceiver, yes?
Yes.
But one of the great things about you is you are a true Israelite in whom there is no deceit.
What did you say about me? What is this? How do you know me?
I have known you long before Philip called you to come and see. Don't look at him. Look at me. When you were in your lowest moment, and you were alone, I did not turn my face from you. I saw you under the fig tree.
Israel.
I knew it.
Well, that didn't take long.
He doesn't mess around.
Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, you believe? You are going to see many greater things than that. Like Jacob, you are going to see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That's me, by the way.
Yeah, I got that.
Good.
So the question when Andrew and John first came to Jesus, he asked them, "What are you looking for?" And, you know, that's a question that everybody could be asked. Back then, there was many people who were looking for something when they came to Jesus. Same for us. There's many reasons people might be searching, whether they're searching specifically for Jesus or what. But there, you know, everyone is searching in some way for answers, for meaning, for purpose, for healing, whatever it might be. Eventually, it comes down to finding that meaningful, loving relationship with the Son of God who gives life today and forever. But that question is asked. And the reply that they give, or what they ask back again, is, "Where are you staying, Jesus?" And I don't think it's just making small talk, like, you know, what motel are you staying at? Who's hosting you while you're here in this town? But somehow, like, we want to go and stay with you. We want to spend time with you. We want to maybe even remain with you, that you would be our rabbi like John the Baptist has been our rabbi. But their desire was that they might spend time with Jesus. So again, this invitation to come and see, come and spend this time with me. And it's just a question. I was going to ask this earlier to get responses from you, but you can just think about this. What might have happened on that day that they spent with Jesus that by the end of the day, they were convinced that he was the Messiah? You know, what happens when we spend time with Jesus that convinces us that he's the one? But, you know, I tried to brainstorm this, and some things that I thought about were just they had time to just be with him and ask questions. Also, Jesus had time to ask them questions. It seems like in Jesus' interactions, he'd always ask those questions that got right to the heart of the matter, you know? So what might he have probed in their lives that opened things up for him to in some way speak truth? And as this video depicted, Jesus had a way of seeing into people's hearts, you know, amazing people in how he was able to see beyond the facade to know what was in their heart. So some of that could have been happening, just like it happened with Nathaniel here. It gave Jesus a chance, maybe in an introductory way, to begin to share his vision. You know, with these men, he's going to spend the next 3 years sharing his vision, but already he might have began to explain his understandings of the kingdom of God and his part in that. And just being amazed at his understanding of scripture, how he was able to interpret their scriptures and reveal how he was bringing forth the kingdom. And we can't discount, too, remember last week we studied how John the Baptist saw the Spirit of God falling upon and coming upon Jesus, filling Jesus, and also saying that Jesus is going to baptize others with the Holy Spirit. So just the work of the Holy Spirit in these interactions to begin to open their hearts and bring revelation to their eyes. So the Spirit of God moving in our midst is also part of how we begin to see Jesus for who he really is. That question, where are you staying, is the same word that John uses throughout his gospel, throughout 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. His favorite word, I think, is abiding. Jesus, where are you abiding? And then it says that they remained with him, or they abided with him throughout that day. That it seems like the gospel, the way that Jesus interacts with us, everything's built upon this abiding relationship. I am the vine, you are the branches. And again, in the midst of this day where they can spend together, abide together, it really had an effect on their lives. This opportunity that they had, that we have to build relationships, to see someone's example, to be in conversation, to share experiences together, that's the petri dish for how faith develops in us, whether it's spending time with Jesus in prayer and scripture and so forth, in worship and meditation, or also spending time with others and seeing Jesus in them and getting an understanding of who he is. So God invites us to be people who invite others to come and see, whether we're bringing them to Jesus somehow, to church, to our understandings and our testimonies of Jesus, or just this invitation to invite them into our lives. And in the midst of that abiding together, that they begin to get a sense of who Jesus is. I read a couple things this week that as we think about sharing our discoveries of Jesus and what he means for us. One commentator said, the most spontaneous, authentic witnessing usually takes place in the first 2 years of our Christian experience. In other words, the first 2 years of our experience with Christ, that's when we're the most open and motivated to invite others to find what we found. Kind of like in the story, it was new and fresh. Andrew goes out and finds Peter. Philip goes out to find Nathaniel. You know, that fresh understanding and discovery propels us to tell others. And how can we keep that freshness alive where we don't lose that motivation to invite others to come and see? Somewhere I saw, and I forget the percentage, and you wouldn't remember the percentage anyway, but a high percent of converts to Jesus are brought to him by someone they trust. And the same way I read, I think it was in our, if you do the Lectio 365 devotional, a good percentage of young people in England will read the Bible if they're invited to do so by someone they trust. So there's something about trusted relationships that are, again, that great environment to invite others to come and see. Andrew and John trusted in John the Baptist to hear his invitation to go check out Jesus. So just thinking about our own friendships, our own church relationships, our conversations around the table, our serving together with other people and working with other people, our worship and our study and our prayer times all give people this opportunity to find Jesus, to discover him. Do we have the patience to let people in our midst, whether it's those who might start to attend church or other people in our lives, in our family? Can we have the patience to let them discover Jesus along the way, and have that as a prayerful desire of ours? I found it interesting, these four people, Andrew, Peter, Philip, Nathaniel, we could say they all discovered Jesus in a different way. Andrew was prepared for this. He was with John the Baptist, so he was learning under John the Baptist, and all along John is pointing Andrew towards Jesus, making all those comments. There's someone coming who I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. That might be a lot of our stories. We grew up in families that went to church, that loved the Lord, and almost prepared us to then ourselves reach out and discover Jesus. So that's one way. Peter, I don't know here from this story if he was a disciple of John the Baptist like his brother John was, but I'm sorry, his brother Andrew. Anyway, for Peter, he meets Jesus, and Jesus gives him a new name, and almost like gives him a calling. You're going to be impactful in my name, in a sense. So for some of us, we discover that we have a future and like a new self that we didn't think would ever emerge, or we weren't picturing emerging in a new way. But for Peter, he's given this new name and new possibilities when he meets Jesus. For Philip, Jesus came to him. He didn't go to Jesus. For some people, for whatever reason, circumstances of life, in whatever way the Holy Spirit might move, Jesus is revealed to them when they weren't searching for him. But they find him and they follow. And then Nathaniel is a skeptic. You know, what good can come out of Nazareth? I don't know about this Jesus that you're talking about. But yet he was won over when he found Jesus and met him. So I just want to just yet look at Nathaniel a little more closely, this whole encounter, because John goes into a little more depth when he tells this story about Nathanael. Jesus says, I saw you under the fig tree. And that really grabbed Nathanael, the fact that he said that. And I don't think it was just this magic trick, like Jesus said, I'm picturing you at noon yesterday sitting under a fig tree, and Nathanael being amazed, like, wow, how did you know that? It sounds to me like something, there was something powerful happening under that fig tree. That was really significant to Nathanael. He was wrestling with something. I think in The Chosen, it shows him really struggling and being burdened by something. But it might have been, fig trees often depicted as a place where you sit under its shade and you pray and you meditate and so forth, and just a time to ponder things. So maybe Nathanael was really pondering deep things about his life or about the Messiah that was to come. But there was something significant probably. And when Jesus pointed to that, like, I was there with you in that moment, that really had an impact on Nathanael. Also, in the Old Testament scriptures, to sit under a fig tree was a place to experience peace and prosperity. That's where you experience the goodness of God that he brings upon his people. And in Zechariah 3, I won't get into that much, but there's three things that are said. Zechariah speaking for God says, I'm about to bring my servant the branch. And Jesus often referred to as the branch of Jesse. I'm about to bring my servant the branch. And in that time, I will remove the guilt of the people. And then he says, on that day, you will invite your neighbor or your friend to sit beneath your fig tree. You'll invite your friend or your neighbor to come and join you under the fig tree, under this place of God's saving grace and love and peace and prosperity. And it's exactly what Philip did, invited Nathanael to come and find the saving grace of God in Jesus. That's what we can do. Jesus says, you believe because I said I saw you under the fig tree. That might be powerful, but you're going to see even more powerful things than that. You're going to see heaven open and the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. In other words, in the times to come, you're going to see how heaven meets earth in me, how God has met us. You're going to see God's grace and God's truth and God's love and God's power come into this world. You're going to see how people's faith and people's worship and people's hopes are lifted up to God. You know, this mediation back and forth. You're going to see that in a powerful way in me. So I'd like us to apply that to us as well. We might all say we've discovered Jesus already, but our life is this ongoing discovery, and we're going to see even greater things of how God's mediating his salvation, his grace, his love, his powerful works coming down all around us, even as faith and love and worship are lifted up to him. So let's not make this too holy, like only a few people have this kind of vision of heaven opening and angels ascending and descending. Whenever we see God at work, we are amazed and we give glory to God for what we see happening, coming down to us and being raised up to us. So let's think about our life as an ongoing discovery of Jesus, that we continually every day come and see him in our lives, that we'd be amazed at what God's doing. So I want to close with this thought, and this is again from the beginning of 1 John, where again John said, we've seen Jesus, we've heard him, we've touched him, and now we proclaim to you what we've seen and heard, so that you can have fellowship with us, even as our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. We're inviting people to come and see come be part of this fellowship of people who have discovered Jesus and abide with him today and forever. So may we be people who ourselves come and see, but also invite others to come and see. Okay. Amen. I want to just get a little water and then lead us in a time of communion.